Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
If you'd like to follow along, we'll be reading from Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9, from the New King James Version. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Be seated, please.
It's great to see you this evening. You know, a life of service to God is a life of holiness. It was that way under the Old Testament law. You think about, for example, the book of Leviticus. And the whole of that book really is a discussion as to how unholy man can approach unto a holy God. It is a book about holiness. One of the key passages, maybe the key passage of that book, is Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44 and 45, where God tells the children of Israel, I am the Lord who has called you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be holy, for I am holy. That same passage is echoed in the New Testament as well. In fact, the Apostle Peter references it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Being a child of God is about living a life of holiness. We are called to be holy. Come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 17. But holiness is not just a calling, if you will. It is also a process. It requires dedication. It requires devotion. It requires discipline. And maybe you could even use the word practice. Think about 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1, where the Apostle Paul says that we are to perfect holiness in the fear of God. The idea of bringing something to maturity, helping it to grow and mature. Or how about Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, where we are told that we are to follow after peace and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Follow after holiness. The idea is a real dedicated pursuit. So we're called to be holy, that's true. And holiness is something that requires dedication and development and perfection over time. So how can we do it? I want you to think with me about a passage momentarily, two passages from the mouth of our Savior before we look at our text for tonight, both from the book of John. One is John 15:3, and the second is John 17 and verse 17. You'll recognize both of them. Jesus made this statement, now you are clean through the words that I have spoken, John 15 and verse 3. Look at the idea of being clean. Jesus is talking about holiness. He's talking about moral purity, if you will. And what is it that Jesus says makes you clean? He says, it's the word that I've spoken. John 17 and verse 17, remember in Jesus' prayer, he said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification, it's a synonym for holiness. How do we become, or how are we rather, sanctified? Well, Jesus says that sanctification comes through the truth. It comes through the Word of God. So how are we to perfect holiness in the fear of God and follow after holiness and seek to be holy as He is holy? Well, the Bible tells us That we can do that through the power of the Word of God in our lives. That's the key. That's the tool that God has given us. I want you to look with me at the passage that was read for us a moment ago by Tim so well. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. That's our passage of study tonight. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And you probably already know that Psalm 119 is an entire psalm that is all about exalting the greatness and the majesty of the Word of God. You may also know that this psalm is a long acrostic psalm in which each section is divided by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then each line in each section begins with whatever letter it happens to be assigned under in that alphabet. One of the interesting things about this particular section, though, the word bait, I think is how you pronounce that, is that it is also a word that has to do with a home or a house. And so one commentator pointed out that when you really think about it, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, is all about how you can take the Word of God and make it at home in your heart, or make it at home in your life or in your mind. And that's the idea. But look how it begins. It begins with a question of holiness. How can a young man cleanse his way is the question that's asked. Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can I be holy? That's really what it's all about. And throughout the rest of this section of the psalm, we'll have several answers as to how that can happen. So let's look at them briefly together tonight. Number one, we can be holy by taking heed to the Word of God. That's verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? The answer is by taking heed to the Word of God. Look at the phrase or the idea of taking heed. It means literally to watch or to guard, but here's something interesting about it. The terminology used in the original language of your Old Testament is the second most common way in all of the Old Testament to denote or describe obedience. So how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. It might have to do with being watchful for God's Word. It may have to do with guarding God's Word. But it probably has to do with obeying God's Word, with putting Scripture into action in our lives. I think it's interesting to note that this question of holiness in verse 9 is directed toward a young man. How can a young man cleanse his way? Of course, the answer and the principle applies no matter how old we are, but it is good for us to maybe pause for a moment and ask, why is the psalmist asking this about a young man? Well, there are a couple of things that come to my mind right away. One of them is that our world says you enjoy your youth and worry about God later. We have a term for it. It's called sowing your wild oats, right? But, you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 has something to say about that. Chapter 11, really, also. And those two chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes will tell us that that is not the right attitude to have. God says we can enjoy youth and be concerned about me right now, that we ought to fear God even in our youth. But here's something else. You know, the habits that we create now in our younger years will typically carry on throughout our life. So if we encourage young people to read God's Word as we do, and memorize Scripture as we do, and enjoy the fellowship of God's people, and faithfully attend the worship services of God's people, and in their youth learn to grow and love God and love His Word, then those habits hopefully will be planted and will continue on throughout life. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can anybody be holy, whether young or old? The answer is obey God's Word. Obey the Word of God. Take heed to it. Obey God's Word. Number two, look at verse 10. Be devoted to God's Word. He says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander away from your commandments. He's talking about wholehearted devotion. With my whole heart I have sought you. In other words, I have given you my all. Write down as a cross-reference a passage like 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 15, where the children of Israel, under the leadership of Asa, they pledged to the Lord that they were going to follow Him and be faithful to Him with all of their heart and with all of their soul. Devotion to God's Word. The idea of this practically is to stop and to think about how God's Word has a place and an application in every aspect or every area of life. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. How can God's Word help me as a student in school? How can God's Word help me in the principles of Scripture if I apply them? How can they help me to be a better husband or father or brother or sister or friend? How can they help me to be a better employee or a better employer? What about when life is good? What does God's Word teach me about that? Or when life is bad, what does God's Word teach me about that? When the day is going well or when it's extremely stressful, what does Scripture teach me? That's the idea of wholehearted devotion to God's Word. I'm going to look for every possible way that Scripture can be applied, that God may be exalted. How can I be holy? I can be holy by taking heed or obeying God's Word, by being devoted to God's Word, and also by hiding it. Look at verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Two parts of this. Think first of all about the idea of hiding God's Word in our heart. It really, at least to my mind, carries with it the idea of memorization, of committing the words of Scripture to memory. Look at passages like Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, and Proverbs 7 and verse 1, and Proverbs 10 and verse 14, where Solomon will emphasize the benefits of hiding or taking the wisdom of God and hiding that wisdom in our hearts. Do you realize that if someone were to come into our home, or maybe let's think of it this way, if some invading nation were to come into our country today and they were to make Christianity illegal and they were to take away every copy of God's Word that they could find and they were to burn them all, do you realize that they'll never be able to take the Scripture away from you that you've committed to your heart? They'll never be able to remove the Scripture that we've put in our minds. Maybe that's why the Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 17 that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And do you remember that Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 and following, that all three times that we're told that the devil tempted him, he answered each one with, "It is written." You see, the value of Scripture can never be overstated. We ought to hide it in our heart, commit it to our minds, commit it to our memory, because we can then use it as a tool or as a weapon to help us in times of temptation, to help us in times of disappointment or sorrow or conflict or whatever the case may be. Hide God's Word in your heart. The best thing, that's God's Word, hidden in the best place, that's in my heart, for the best purpose, that I might not sin against you. Scripture has the power to keep me from sin. So hide it in your heart. Number four, listen to God's Word. Look at verse 12. "Blessed are you, O Lord," he says, "teach me your statutes." One of the things about this psalm, as you read through it, is that you keep coming across these passages where the psalmist will make clear that he had a great desire to listen to God and to learn from Him. For example, look at verse 26. "I have declared my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me to understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works." How about verse 33? "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end." Or verse 64, he says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes." What did this psalmist want more than practically anything else? He says, "I want to learn more. I want to know more about the Word of God." I want to hear it. I want to listen to it. We ought to have that same desire. You remember the words of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 15 and verse 16? Your words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. What joy do we find in time spent reading God's word? What joy do we find in time spent memorizing, studying, or listening to God's word? Remember 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, Peter is talking not to young Christians. He's talking to all Christians. The point of that passage is that every child of God, regardless of how old we may be, that our desire should always be to feast upon the word of God in the same way that, well, that a baby desires to be fed. How can I be holy? Have a desire to listen to the word of God. Take heed to the word. Apply it. Verse number 9. Be devoted to it. Look for ways in your life to apply it. Verse number 10. Memorize it. Hide it in your heart so that you can use it as a weapon against sin and things that are unholy. Verse number 11. Listen to it and seek out opportunities to learn. Verse 12. Verse 13. Proclaim the word of God. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth, he says. You may not realize this, but one of the best ways to learn is to teach. When you teach God's word, it sort of forces you to really dig down deep into what Scripture says and what it means, and think about ways that you can apply that to your own life, yes, but also look for ways that you can explain it and help others to find how they can apply it to theirs. So the psalmist says in verse 13, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have taught. You know, we all have a responsibility to teach the word of God in some way. Write down 2 Timothy 2 verse 24 and Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. You remember there was a time, that time was the time at which they ought to be teachers. In other words, he says, look, all of your spiritual maturity should have grown to such a plane now where you can teach others about God, but it hadn't. May that never be said about us. Look at the next passage, verse number 14. How can I be holy? How can a young man cleanse his way? By rejoicing in the word of God. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. You know, it's natural for us to remember the things that are pleasant and try and forget the things that are painful. Think about what that says about how the psalmist viewed God's word. I rejoice in your testimonies as much as in all riches. In other words, I find such great pleasantness, such great goodness. We could maybe even use the word happiness in studying your word that it causes me to rejoice. I find real delight in God's word. Well, why? Because I value it so much. That's what he says. So how great is our value of God's word? Same psalm, Psalm 119, but later on in verse 127, he'll say, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, even more than fine gold. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure, Psalm 119 and verse 162. There are a lot of people in our world that would laugh and scoff at the idea of God's word having real value. But the psalmist says there isn't anything in this world physically that can even compare to what great value we have when we hold a Bible in our hands. When we learn to rejoice in it and treasure it to that extent, then we'll be able to apply it and we'll be on our way to living holy lives. Verse 15, meditate on God's word. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and I will contemplate your ways. This passage reminds me a lot of how the book of Psalms begins. Do you remember Psalm 1? We read about the blessed man. Blessed is the man, we're told, that does not walk in the way of sinners or stand in the seat of the scornful. But we're told his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Think about meditation for a moment. I would suggest to you that meditation basically has two parts. The first part is the idea of taking the passage of Scripture or the precept and just churning it around in our mind over and over again. The psalmist captures that in verse 15 with the idea of contemplate. It's the idea of thinking deeply about it. It's going to be present in my mind, and I'm going to think on it over and over again. That's the first part. But then the second part of meditation is looking for a way to take that passage or that precept and then put it into action. So if I'm reading or thinking about a passage, for example, that tells me about how I need to be kind, well, then maybe what I'm going to do as I'm thinking about that passage throughout the day is I'm going to look for opportunities to display kindness to other people. I want to look for a way to put that passage into practice. That's the idea of meditation. And you'll find, I think, that when you take those two parts and put them together, it makes not only meditation and understanding easier, but it also makes memorization easier. When you think about the passage over and again, and you figure out what it means, and you learn how to apply it in real time, then you'll commit it to your heart. You'll commit it to memory. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can we be holy? By taking heed to the Word of God, by obeying it, by being devoted to it, giving Him our all, and looking for ways to apply God's Word. By hiding God's Word in our heart, verse number 11, memorizing it that we might be able to utilize it as a weapon against sin. Listening to God's Word, verse 12, seeking out opportunities to hear it and learn it, proclaiming it, verse 13, to others, rejoicing in it because we value it so greatly, verse 14, meditating upon it, verse 15, thinking about it over and again and looking for ways to put it into action. And finally, the psalmist says in verse 16, remember it. Remember God's Word. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. One commentator pointed out that the word that the psalmist uses for delight in this passage is a word that has to do with sort of a settled pleasure. In other words, I'm going to take God's word and I'm going to let it settle down in my heart. I'm going to make it at home in my heart and mind, and it's going to bring me great happiness, great joy, great pleasure. It will be right at home within me. Can I say that about myself and how I view the Word of God? The Christian life is a life of holiness. Holiness, set-apartness, sanctification, trying to be more like our God in every way. What greater tool could we possibly fathom than in trying to be more like God in every way? Than simply opening up the Bible, which is literally the thoughts or the mind of God in written form for you and for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The more we learn about God's Word, the more we learn about God. The more we are able to understand and apply God's Word to our lives, the more we'll understand God and the closer we'll grow to Him and the more like Him we will be. That's the transforming power of the Word of God. Holiness is a call, but it's also a process that matures and takes time throughout our lives as Christians. We grow in it. We perfect it. But you realize that implies that it has to begin somewhere. There's a starting point. And that starting point is whenever we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and whenever we are added to the body of Jesus Christ by our Heavenly Father. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. In verse 9 and 10, we're reminded of all of these different sinful lifestyles. But in verse number 11, Paul says, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are, notice this, sanctified. You are justified. You are washed. That's baptism. Your sins are washed away. You are sanctified. You've now been set apart for a holy life, and you are justified. You can stand before God just as if you'd never sinned. The process begins. Tonight, are you ready to begin it? Are you ready to become a Christian? If you're not, there's no better time. The Bible teaches us that Jesus died on the cross for the salvation of all of the world. All we've got to do is submit ourselves to the gospel's plan of salvation. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God tonight? Are you ready to repent of your sins and confess your faith and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Well, if you are, then it would be our privilege to assist you in doing so. Tonight, if you're a Christian and you look at your life and you say, you know what, my life is not what it ought to be. I'm not perfecting and pursuing holiness. Maybe one of the reasons you say is because I've not been dedicating myself to the Word of God as I should. Can we pray for you? Can we give you some encouragement? However we may help you, whatever your need may be, come forward, let it be known while we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.